The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
And happy Friday to you. It's Voice America Sports Planet Gridiron with your boy Dave Lockhart and Mr. Brian Harper joining us from the Dirty South. New Orleans headed down to Lafayette. Holla at your boys. Hit us up, 888-346-9144. Love for you to partake in this show. We are jumping off again. It is Friday, May 17, 2013. B-Hop, what's happening, Captain?
Man, what's good, man? I'm in the Gulf Coast, and, you know, this is definitely my favorite part of the country to be in, man, so... I'm here to do a football camp for my brother.
Okay, yeah, just get a shout out to some of our listeners and people who don't know. Brian's brother is Mr. Roman Harper, that's starting free safety for the New Orleans Saints. And as he was saying or speaking to, he is going to join in with a football camp with his brothers hosting, and they're going to hand out and partake some knowledge to some young ones out there in the Gulf Coast. Isn't that right, B-Hop?
Yeah, man, we got a nice little cast coming in. Darrell Owens will be there.
Okay.
I'm on with you and a couple other people. As a matter of fact, your former, and gosh, I don't want to get his name wrong.
Okay.
I want to say your former, he might still be guy, Rashad Johnson, I think, on the Arizona Cardinals.
No, he's still with us. Yeah,
guys like that, man, will be around, so it's definitely going to be fun to fun for everybody.
Okay, and I'm sure y'all going to have some good vittles for everybody to munch on when they get a break in between that camp, eh?
The largest crawfish boil this weekend, man.
Yeah, well, all y'all don't know, us country boys know about that. That's the poor man's lobster known as the crawfish.
Yeah.
But I got love for it, dog. I know exactly what's cracking lacking with those, man. Really like those. But in any event, we got a lot jumping off in the sports world. You know, we're football dominated, but we do have to touch on some other things and some other items, and thus we shall. Let's talk about these NBA playoffs. It looks like, let's start with the East. It looks like Miami Heat did what they were supposed to do. You know, I'm not a huge basketball guy, B-Hop, but I can acknowledge the fact that it does appear, as everyone is saying, that the Heat is the team to beat, at least in the East.
Yeah, when they're rolling, they are the team to beat. We can always say that Chicago's undermanned, but to be honest with you, they beat them with an injured Dwayne Wade, so you got to give credit to this guy came in and took care of business.
I was looking at Chicago. I think it should be the Bulls commended in light of the fact that they were playing with such an injured and shortened roster. But they gave everything they had. But to be honest, Brian, looking at what you saw, I don't care if Luol Deng was there. I don't care if, you know, the great Derrick Rose was there. I don't care. Craig Heinrich. The better team is, in fact, the Miami Heat. So I don't know if it would have impacted the final outcome. Although it may have been more challenging with respect to the actual series.
Right. You know, the only way we would know if anything would be different if Derrick Rose would have played. But granted, the Heat, they got rid of him. They came in and short-sightedly played him for one game. And then, of course, then the Heat just let their talent take over, and they were a better team.
Absolutely, they were. Because it was no quit, though, with respect to the Bulls, especially as hard as they played in, what was that, the deciding game, game five. I mean, they gave the Heat everything they had, and it's still just, frankly, it's just not enough. That roster that they had and what they had to compete with is just wasn't sufficient. Great season in light of the fact that all that they had to deal with, which is the most prominent, would be not having your star, Derrick Rose, play. But moving on to the other conference semifinal, I'm finding the Knicks-Pacers interesting. You know, you got the same issues with Carmelo Anthony being Carmelo Anthony. He's the same player he was 8 years ago. Nothing seems to change. And I'm impressed, Brian, with the Pacers.
You, You talking about Carmelo Anthony, the kid that's gonna emerge on not passing the ball at the playground every now and then?
Right. He's the 9-year-old on the Y team. ain't nothing changed. It's the same player. The ball stops when it gets to his hands, and he's gonna shoot, and that's his response to everything. I'm gonna shoot it.
Yeah, that's it, man. You would have no problem getting his handprints off the basketball if you were just trying to find out who did the crime of stealing something in the playground, at the basketball court, because he's not letting the ball go. You can forget it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That stuff's a black hole or the Bermuda Triangle when it goes in here.
That is a black hole of the 90-foot court. If you want to know where the ball disappears on that court, all right, just throw it to Mr. Anthony. He will make sure it not come back out.
And, you know, it's working, once again, to their detriment, because when you look at Indiana, they are, in fact, a team. They're big, they're long, they're physical. And, you know, a lot can be said with the way they've developed their players, especially, obviously, George Hill, who couldn't play, the point guard, came out of Fresno State. His development, I mean, leaps and bounds. And when you look at their roster, you're scratching your head because you're saying, okay, yeah, I know about David West, a former, you know, collegiate player of the year. Tyler Hansborough, yeah, he was the man in college, but, you know, he hadn't really done anything that much that stands out in the NBA. But you collectively, when you look at them, they are a formidable team. And I think if they advance, you know what? The Heat better bring the A game.
Well, the one thing I think they'll do is that they'll be physical with the Heat, but I just don't think – I think right now, I don't think anybody once you look at the Bulls who were injured and depleted, and if the Knicks didn't come out like everybody predicted for a matchup, I don't think the Pacers can score enough.
Okay. So you think ultimately the Knicks do win this series?
No, I think the Knicks squandered an opportunity.
Okay.
Squandered an opportunity, and I think they messed around and put themselves on an A ball. I think having to play Indiana and still having to win two more games, I don't think they can get it done. So unfortunately, it looks like the Pacers will probably advance, and the Knicks were the only team I thought they could have challenged them in the West. In the East.
You know, I agree with you. I don't think the Knicks can overcome the obstacles that they place essentially in front of themselves. You know, they're behind the eight ball, if you will. They're 3-1. When you move into the semifinal round, the percentages say greatly, it's going to be extremely difficult for you to win three games in a row. And the way that they play basketball, to me, it's they being the Knicks, it sets up nicely when you match up if you're from a Pacer perspective. They can handle that. They can deal with all that the Knicks try to do with all of the shooting. They're being the Pacers are a better rebounding team. They defend the three-pointer better than any team in the NBA. So, you know what? I think their thought is, Brian, that, hey, come on, let's play these games. We're going to see what's going to happen. We're going to win one of them. We don't need but one more.
Right. And I think they went out and they weren't – you could tell they weren't playing a lot. They didn't swing the ball around. I think they played the Knicks game last night, but I think when you start talking the finals at stake, you're going to find your identity, and it's too late. The Knicks are not going to be able to pull off that. It's just too late.
And before we move to the West, Roy Hibbert has been dominating Tyson Chandler, which is a little bit shocking because when I think of Roy Hibbert, you think of this, you know, 7-foot tree that played at Georgetown that basically took the same type of post game into the NBA. And you look at and think about the more athletic, the more kind of diverse game and experience of Tyson Chandler. But to be honest, man, Hibbert's been handling Tyson Chandler.
Oh, it's not even close. Tyson Chandler, who, don't get me wrong, is a great defender.
Right.
Hibbert is I just think mentally, and we see it. You have some guys that just for some reason, have another guy's number. We saw Ron Artest in the NBA Finals have Paul Pierce's number. And this time it just seems like, as great as Tyson Chandler is, Hibbert doesn't fear him.
Right.
And I think if the Pacers run into the Heat in the next series, I think that'll be the problem with the Pacers. I think the Pacers have a certain fear of Dwayne Wade
and
LeBron.
Yeah.
How they play.
Yeah, I just don't think their roster in the game just matches up. Let's be honest. The Heat appears, by all accounts, to be the best team in the NBA. And should they not win at all, it would be a monumental upset. I definitely would have to agree with that. But if the Memphis Grizzlies can make it out against the Spurs, that is going to be a very interesting series if the Heat also in turn make it out versus either Pacers or Knicks. Brian, what's your thoughts with respect to that potential matchup, Heat-Grizzly?
Well, I guess that'll segue into going to the West.
Yeah.
Going to the West. Let's go ahead and credit the Memphis Grizzlies of getting rid of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Right.
Without Michael Westbrook. And, of course, you definitely got to give credit to the other team that we're going. But the Memphis Grizzlies would be a matchup nightmare for those guys.
Yeah.
That would be, if they come in and play their game in the NBA Finals, that is not a team that LeBron them want to see.
Yep.
Even games, you got Tayshaun Prince, and I can't call the other young man that can guard on the perimeter.
You talking about Tony Allen? Tony Allen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tony Allen, Tayshaun Prince are fierce defenders on the perimeter, and there is no answer down low.
DeMarc Gasol,
DB or Gasol.
Right.
There's no answer for those guys.
Yeah, I just think the Heat don't want to see them. I think they can beat them, but it is going to be a slugfest from hell because of the way that roster is put together. You got Zach Randolph, Z-Bo, who is wild when you watch his game because he doesn't have all this athleticism that you would see, but doesn't jump anywhere, has nice soft hands, great low post game, 18 feet in, or the jumper is nice with his. You're right. The lockdown on the perimeter with Tony Allen, Conley is developing in his game and now is moving into the elite category of point guards. And let's not forget, coming off the bench, Jared Bayless, you know, the homegrown Phoenix product who found a home in Memphis. And you know what? That's a conundrum, if you will. There are a number of different elements that you have to account for when you are the Heat trying to match up against the Grizzlies. And I think that the Heat would personally like to see the Spurs over the Grizzlies.
Yeah, they would, and you just gotta hope that the Grizzlies come in and play their game and play hungry, then the Heat are in trouble.
Yeah,
and then of course the Spurs can kind of play defensively with the way they played the last couple of games against the State, then they would be a nightmare. And I tell you what, you grow up as a kid as a huge Magic Johnson fan, and you know, but Magic said something last night that I really didn't understand, that Golden State needs to get rid of a player and get a post player. If I'm Golden State, if I can keep the guy that comes off the bench, I don't touch that roster. Okay. I wouldn't touch it. The guys that are post player will eventually learn how to score in the post.
Yeah.
I wouldn't touch
I like the brand of ball that they're playing. It's an exciting ball, brand of ball. But you know what? You can win with that type of game because, really, that's what the Heat do. They don't pound you all inside. They expand and they stretch the entire 90 feet. And that's really what you're doing with Golden State. But Golden State's advantage, in my opinion, is they got much better shooters than anybody between the one and the two, between Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson, compared to anybody. Right. I would match them up against anybody, and I don't think – you're going to find a better two combo guard than those two.
I guess I'm disappointed because you grew up as a Magic fan.
Yeah.
And some of these guys are commentating, they get a little bit old school. And you look at the fact, I'm like, when was the last time a team won with a dominant post player? You can't say the Mavericks because Dirk Nowitzki wasn't a dominant post player. They won that game from the perimeter.
Correct.
As well as the. So it was very incorrect about talking about you can't win a series without a dominant post player. I didn't understand his comment on that one.
Well, right. You could do it even old school. Because watch the Bulls when they were winning. Come on, they had Bill Cartwright. They had Will Perdue. I don't think we would characterize them as dominant. So you need some presence, which they have with a healthy Andrew Bogut. And you can win with supporting pieces of Harrison Barnes, who, again, we talked about him last week. Silky smooth, really like him a lot in his development. And, you know, the outside shooting of Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry will be a year older, a year wiser, a year more mature, having some playoff successes. You know what? They stand the chance of potentially leaping past OKC. OKC better watch out.
Yeah, my sentiments exactly. That team right there is scary with another year they built.
Oh, yeah. And we finally, you know, Durant, we got to go to break. But before we go there, I want to talk about Durant. I'm going to give him a pass. I know normally we don't do that. I like Durant as a player and a person. And you know what? He tried to shoulder the load, and we now can finally see. But anybody who ever doubted it, This is a team game. And on that note, we're going to pick it up. Mr. Engineer, bring in the funk. We'll bring it around on the next round. Stay with us. Voice America Sports, Planet Gridiron, your leader at Voice Internet.
Yeah, this one right here goes out to all the babies, mamas, mamas. Mamas, mamas. Baby mamas, mamas.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
We some hard hitters, we some hard hitters.
Hard Hitting Radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard Hitting Radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Want to experience football from the perspective of two former players who also have coaching experience? Tune in to Sports Info UM with Daryl Oliver and Sam Sword. We'll talk about the drafts, play-by-play, and even what's happening in the offseason. Daryl and Sam have the connections and the knowledge to bring you the inside stories of the game's past, present, and future. We'll cover the camps, on and off field, and everything else, football and beyond. Sports Info UM is heard Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
And we're back. Round two, segment two. Voice America Sports, Planet Gridiron, your leader in internet media. Joining us, Brian Hopp from the Dirty South. We always appreciate those contributions. And when we went to break, we were talking a whole lot about these NBA playoffs. And Brian Harper and myself shared with you all our listeners our impressions of what is particularly what's going on the West Side with the rising of the Golden State Warriors. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. Please join us, 888-346-9144. Before we move on to what is dear to our heart, we are going to touch on some other the issues that have come to the forefront of the sports arena, and that would be, once again, the domination, it appears, and the rise of Mr. Tiger Woods, B-Hop. Look like he's regaining form, and the only thing left now to put all the naysayers in their place is to win a major in this year. It looks like he's back, B-Hop. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, we got to understand how close we are of him winning the U.S. Open. He is one snitch call away from winning, of already getting really, really back. And he's the number one golfer in the world. And for what the guy went through,
yes,
mentally, ACL surgery, divorce, scrutiny of the media, and for him to only be away from the top of his game for 2 years, I mean, come on. We are arguably saying he is the greatest golfer of all time. In total wins, if he continues to win, he will pass the all-time win column this year. So
right.
I would definitely say he's back, and he's definitely smart enough that when he does come back on being the number one golfer in the world, it's like you said, you know, you got to have some of that jerk juice.
Yeah.
And, you know, he got his balance back. Definitely got very nice eye candy on his arm. So for those of him that were saying, oh, they could never date or judging his character, Lindsey Vonn seems to have forgiven him or doesn't care anything about his character. So, I mean, credit, the guy's totally back. Upgraded on his wife and upgraded on his game. Can't be mad at that.
I can't, as they would say, don't sweat the technique. Because it looks like from the ashes, the Phoenix has risen again. He's, started in seven events this year. He's won four of the seven events that he's participated in. I cannot think of one right now where he wasn't at least in contention, at least in one round or multiple rounds in each of these tournaments. It seems to be that he has found balance. He has found peace. And I agree with you. You know, part of his game is the fact of his mental makeup, which was interesting because you saw what was going on really in my mind kind of off the course. It's tangential to what was going on, and that is this so-called dispute he had with Sergio Garcia. And I find that kind of funny, Brian. You know, I understand that it's a gentleman's game. You know, you respect the course, you respect the game, you respect the players you play with. But at the same time, do you really think that his pulling of a club, and let's imagine that there is a response, that he's going to go with this club. I mean, how can Garcia's failures be imputed upon what Tiger did?
So you mean to tell me the pulling of a club is louder than you've ever played on a course? I play golf, so okay. you've never been on a course that you hadn't heard a bird kind of chirp loud or woodpecker happen to hit it, you know, and you still pretty much hit a good one on the green. So you're going to tell me the sliding of a club out of a bag, and this is for a major event. To me, he doubted his own skills. To me, you're really saying your level of concentration isn't what it should be
right.
to even be at a major golf event. If that's what got you, the sliding of a club out of it, and you, what was at stake? To me, you're not the professional everybody seems to think that you are.
Or maybe it's this. I was listening to another show, and a guy said something that's true about, you know, the Tiger Woods, the Sam Snead, and the Jack Nicklaus. We pay homage to them and we respect them so much because they aren't the norm. And that is, Sergio Garcia is the norm for golf. How many times have we seen that individual that's on the precipice of getting it done in a major event, and all they have to do, be hot, is close the door, and that person just chokes and gives it away? So rare is that individual that can rise to the occasion. And that's why we love, again, the Tiger Woods. I think the Michael Jordan. We like the Kobe Bryant. Yeah, because they closed the deal. Failure is the norm. Success under those circumstances are the abnormal. And that's what, in my mind, separates Tiger in combination with, obviously, the amount of talent he has. But let's be honest. Most of all those guys, if not all, are talented. That's why they can do it for a living.
That Tiger shows on closing the deal on his putts with the pressure,
yeah.
time and time again. Especially when he came onto the scene, what he did to golf
yeah.
was amazing. And so now to see it come back, to see him come back after all he's done, you know, because everybody that when you have that champion has been let down. With Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan and really Tiger are the only two guys that have done it. When Michael came back after his stay in baseball, he came back and got a championship. But when Joe Montana went to the Chiefs, he got to the NFC Championship but couldn't close the deal.
Right.
Mike Tyson, he came out of jail, couldn't close the deal. So those guys like that, when your champion comes back and they close the deal like Tiger's doing, you want that. People want to see, can they do it again and get back on top of the mountain?
Right, and I'm of the opinion of this. Look, he doesn't have to be the nicest person in the world. First of all, I don't break bread with Tiger Woods and don't rub, you know, shoulders and elbows with him anyway. What I do like is what I'm observing on TV like everyone else. Why can't you just appreciate the performances that he provides to the public when he plays golf? It would be nice, Ryan, if he was a nice guy, but even if he's not a nice guy, and I don't know, because I don't know Tiger Woods, but if he's not the nicest guy, I don't really care. How about you?
Look, I think it doesn't care. I don't care either. As long as you're getting paid to be the greatest golfer in the world, not the nicest guy in the world.
Right.
And to hold the mantelpiece of the attention you get, and everybody always try to bring, Rory and all these other guys that you want to kind of bring to the standard of guys like Michael Jordan. And you just simply can't. And we all know, we've heard stories on Michael Jordan. It's not
yep.
Michael Jordan is going to come out and hand you your newspaper
right.
in the morning. And I think people have a problem with that. And in case in point, my friend Terrell, Terrell, a lot of people misread Terrell. Terrell's a good dude, but he's not a nice guy when it comes to competition because he has this something extra in order to be great. And sometimes that's the sacrifice you make. You can't have everybody around because your focus is on so intent on being great. And people perceive that you're not a nice person, but maybe your focus is on winning a championship and you can't shake everybody's hand.
Well, maybe that's also the distinguishing factor that seems to be consistent or the common denominator is that in order to achieve the level of greatness and success that these people have, which is the pinnacle to be the best, maybe you do have to sacrifice a little of you, if you will. excuse me. The friendliness, the willingness to be everybody's, you know, accepted by everyone. Okay, I think everybody likes the idea that people like them, but then you have some people who don't care if you like them or not. And I think Tiger Woods, I think Terrell, I think, is it Terrell? Because I don't want to beat up his name. Is it Terrell Owens?
Terrell.
Yeah, Terrell, Michael. I don't think those people really care if you like them. I don't think, for instance, Kobe Bryant cares if people like him. He just has, he's steadfast about a particular objective, and he's going to achieve that objective regardless of what it takes.
Right. Let's think about Mike Tyson. When Mike Tyson was making everybody pay pay-per-view $60 and the fight was over with in
20 seconds. Right.
Mike was on another level. I mean, there was no... it wasn't like Cassius Clay who was talking trash but then could turn around and smile. Mike Tyson was bound just fearful, evil. I mean,
You're right. Man, you're right.
Yeah, you're down. So in order, and I think, America got spoiled in a sense of looking at other heroes and unfortunately, because of the way things were, like Raish, Zach Dempsey had to say, I got lucky and caught him with a punch. Joe Louis can be flashy. Then Ali continued to kind of do it with a smile, but fearful. Joe Montana did it with a smile. But then, and Magic Johnson did it with a smile. But Jordan came along, and Jordan was like, no, I'm not doing a smile. I don't have time to be there. I want to ascend and go past Magic. And when he did that, he took over. I mean, when Magic had five, maybe it's a smile. But when Jordan came around and got six, then people had to understand that was the change in it. And Kobe mimicked that. And all these other guys coming behind him are going to kind of mimic that a little bit.
Right, because they see what one has to do to ascend to those levels. This is what you have to do, folks. And you know what? Maybe you can't be kind when you want to achieve the level of success. Again, everybody might not be able to be your partner, your boy, your brother.
And these people are great because they wouldn't be able to have good business deals if they weren't.
Yeah.
They're just not openly friendly with everyone in the media. Barry Bonds. People should stop being so sensitive because they don't want to be friends with you in the media who we know are capable of lying. Let's be honest. I respect what LeBron James has done. Let's be honest. Kobe has probably missed out on a couple of MVPs because of what's being held against him in Colorado.
No question. Or his perceptions as being not necessarily a nice person. I agree with that. I mean, come to think of it, how many MVPs has Kobe won? Yeah, I know he's got at least one of them, right?
He's only got one.
Yeah, that's what I thought. He's only got one. Now, you, one of the most prolific scorers and probably the most dominant player between the exiting of Michael Jordan until LeBron James began to ascend, because it's not as though LeBron walked in. Yeah, LeBron walked in and he was successful, but not to the degree. That took time to develop his game, just like it took time to develop Jordan and Kobe. But when he was developing, it was no question that Kobe Bryant stepped in and filled that void that was left by Jordan. And
I mean, Kobe 81 in a game, and I think people
I mean, that's a lot of dang-gone points. And with that being said, man, B-Hop, we got to go to that second break. So, Mr. Engineer, bring in that funk. Y'all stay with us. 888-346-9144. Voice America Sports, Planet Gridiron. Come on back with B-Hop and D-Lock.
Can y'all hear me out there? Let's go. Let's eat it pop. Let's eat it pop. I'm all lean. I've been in the kitchen whipping. Where y'all been?
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives. What if there was a program that brought the best in sports and the best of entertainment together in one place? It can be done, and Darnell Autry proves it every week on Outside the Spotlight. In this program, athletes and artists come together to share their success stories, hobbies, professional projects, and more that will interest not only the sports fan, but fans of entertainment and other human interest stories. If you have something you want to ask your favorite athlete or entertainer, listen for Outside the Spotlight, Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America Sports.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
And welcome back to Voice America Sports, Planet Gridiron, your leader in internet media. You got Dave Lockhart and Sheldon jumping off, and we got B-Hop from the Dirty South joining us, kicking us in and making nothing but contributions to the show. And we got it jumping off today, Sheldon, man. It's been rumbling and jumbling and stumbling, and now it's time to move into a little bit of football. And when we were on that break, we were talking about some comments, B-Hop, Sheldon, that are coming out of the Southeastern Conference with references being made to the man that's on the top of the hill right now, Mr. Nick Saban, being referred to as Satan by some. Now we got another former coach who used to coach with him, a Coach Davis, who's now referring by saying that he learned at the knee of the devil himself. Very strong and interesting comments. B-Hop, you are so close to that Alabama program, and you have had an opportunity to spend some time with around Nick Saban and some of his disciples. Your thoughts as to these kind of interesting characterization of this man?
My thing is, people got to understand the price of BCS championships three in the last 4 years. You don't get that by out there on the lake fishing. Coach Saban is a guy that once he wins, the football season's over with, he means what he says. You get, and I got people on the field. You get about two or three days to enjoy it.
Yep.
And then it's back to the grinding stone. It's back to saying, hey, everybody's Nick Saban's the type of guy. He works so hard. There's no in between. The moment when the season ended, when people are saying Texas A&M, well, he's on that. Texas A&M second game of the week. He's on it. People are talking about it, and Nick Saban is being about that. He's being about keeping this machine that everybody talks about wanting when it's going to end going, and that's his challenge. The challenge of, can he get as many victories as Bear Bryant? Can he? You know, that's the type it is. And these guys who now get their money and move on and get a great opportunity because of him, you know, they want to sit back and maybe want to throw salt on the game, maybe because they're not getting recruits while they're at their new coaching job or not. But Nick Saban, to me, is just a very hardworking guy. He's about business. But if you ever get a chance to know him personally and do things other than talk football around him, I mean, he's a good guy.
I got you. Cause so we got people talking and saying some things that, you know, that they are conveying to the public that might not necessarily be all that truly and accurate. And that's why, you know, it kind of warms my heart, if you will, to have the ability to have someone like a B-Hop come in who's close to the grind, close to the, you know, and can speak intelligently about an issue like this. Because it doesn't shock me that you have people say that, you know, he's so steadfast in his positions. With respect to keeping this dynasty going. That should be the goal of everyone.
Exactly. My thing is, no one is twisting your arm to coach at Alabama. No one is twisting your arm. You got to understand, Alabama's on a whole other level. So my thing is, all right, do you want to leave for lunch or do you want to have lunch catered in? It's up to you.
Yeah. And you know what, though? B-Hop, did you have an opportunity to watch, and Sheldon, there was a program, I want to say it was on the NFL channel, that followed the Cleveland Browns when Belichick was a head coach. Okay. Did you get a chance to see that, B-Hop?
No, I saw it. I glanced at it, but and I got to stop being that way. Whenever I see Belichick, I tend to get kind of salty about it. But,
well, at least you're honest with yourself. And what I was getting at is that it was people, they followed the 95, I think it was 95, but when Belichick was the head coach of Cleveland, mm-hmm. and right before they moved to Baltimore. And I know you are aware of it, on that staff was Nick Saban. There was Scott mm-hmm. Pioli. Dimitrov, who's now the GM at, what is it, Atlanta. Tannenbaum was with that staff. And what you saw is that, hey, if you want to talk about learning that from the devil himself, I think it's more apropos to talk about Belichick. Because I think he is the one that has the blueprint as to what it takes to be successful. And you can carry that blueprint regardless of whether it's in the NFL or the collegiate level, high school level, Pop Warner level. It takes a certain level of commitment and dedication.
Let me tell you how detailed Coach Saban is. There's a reason when we in America, when we watch Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, Joe Montana, let me tell you what guys like Saban get the public do. We're at a practice one time, and they're going over special teams play. I think they're going to replay the Gators, the Florida Gators.
Okay.
They kicked off. Now, they're going through the whole thing. They kicked off, and the guy on the kickoff receiving team was bagging out of there too early. Saban goes live and said, "Are you not watching the Blanky Bank film? The ball, when he kicks off, only goes 8 yards to the right. We are not playing." And he named another team. We named another team. When the ball goes 14 yards, it goes 8. Sit your dumb Blanky Bank right here. I mean, he's so detailed. He knew how far the kick of Florida was going.
And he knew where it was going.
He knew it. He knew it. This is where the ball's going. This is where you need to drop right here to get your block. You need to drop back that far. This is how I'm dead he was.
Okay. And you know what? It has to be impressive because you yourself are a coach at a high-level institution that competes at, again, high level. And if that left an indelible mark on you where you can recall that and speak specifically to it, then, I mean, to me, that speaks volumes.
Oh, man. I'm under Coach Saban wanted my boss, Bill Clark, as a defensive scouting liaison. And so Bill Clark is a real great guy running the 3-4. He's just as tenacity, maybe not that quite because he still believes in family and having family time.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's not that far from it. And my friend, Coach Damon Craig, who's now coaching at Auburn, I mean, he'll tell you when you're coaching for Nick Saban, because he was with them at LSU and Miami, it's just certain things that that the guy is so detailed. They played Auburn in a game, and the defensive coordinator at the time for LSU, but I want to say it was Coach Fisher, whoever, was about to make a call. And Nick Saban stopped him and says, "No, they ran this play on third down, and I think it was like 3 years ahead of that." You know, offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
The offensive coordinator who was at Auburn at the time was coaching for a different team, but Saban had faced him. And Saban knew the play, and they called the defense to stop it, and Auburn came up short. I was like, no way. Craig says, "Man, it's the most amazing thing he ever seen."
So you're telling me it's preparation upon preparation upon preparation.
That's all it is. And so if Texas A&M wins, that shows a whole lot for what Texas A&M has done. And if they don't, then you'll know why, because Alabama has been on it probably since they saw the mud hole in Notre Dame.
You know what I heard about Nick Saban was when he moved, when A&M and all these teams like Missouri and all the schools started moving to the spread, he hired a spread consultant to assist Alabama in their preparation for these kinds of teams that they're getting. And you could tell because, I mean, everybody talks about the Johnny Manziel and Texas A&M game, okay? The kid's talented. I'm not going to say that he's not. But let's be honest, the majority of all that went down, if you will, that you occurred in the first half, first quarter and a half, okay? If you really look at it and are fair and watch the entirety of the game, Alabama, made the adjustments that they needed to make to win the game on defense. Now, did they play their best? No, they didn't. Well, I don't know if they took it lightly. I thought, you know, they played LSU. That was an emotional game. They had to come from behind. And let's be honest, every week in the SEC, for the most part, can be like a dogfight, grab your knife, jump in the foxhole. That's the way those games are. And let's be honest, A.J. McCarron did not play like A.J. McCarron. He turned the ball over. I mean, they were driving in. And so what you needed to occur for A&M to win did occur. Alabama got out there and found that one. They're a little bit faster than we thought they were. They're a little bit more talented than we thought they were. And we're not playing to the best that we possibly can play. And this kid, Johnny Manziel, a little bit better than what we thought he was when we watched the film. And then when that all happens, it's the perfect kind of confluence of events to occur within a game. And then that's where you have upset.
Yeah, ran a fumble by T.J. Yeldon.
Right.
Because he's a and that gave Texas A&M another possession that they needed to go ahead and score another one. So all that came about. And you can't, you know, and you need that in order to win championships or better yet lose games. So all that stuff came about. And that's not taking nothing from Texas A&M. But, you know, that just shows you if you're going to beat Alabama, you got to have a lot of things go your way.
Oh, you got to. you have to. I think we done seen this now. Okay. So what he's going to be able to do, is going to be tempered some. I think who's the person that really could rise to the forefront in running the spread and probably is a bit better of an athlete is actually Braxton Miller up in Ohio State.
Right. I think the kid is going to be very good, but then again, we always have to see now you're bowl eligible, now people are going to play you, and now people are looking for you. So I got to wait this season to pass the judge on that kid.
Yep.
Because you're a lot more loose as an offensive coordinator when you know you're not going anywhere, when you know
nothing
you
don't
have any bowls in front of you. So trust me, and I'm a part of that because when I was at South Alabama, we called games a whole lot more loose in our first couple of years. And then of course, when you get into conference play, you got to kind of watch it and do what you kind of do. So I'll wait and pass judgment on this year and see how well he plays.
Okay. Yeah, I think he's going to maybe be able to take the next step of the quarterbacks that I've seen there, but primarily between Terrell Pryor and Braxton Miller. For whatever reason, I tend to trust this Braxton Miller kid a little bit more than I did Terrell Pryor. And it may be that I have some, undealt with issues with respect to how I feel about Terrell Pryor, too.
We'll leave it at that. Yeah.
I'm getting excited. We got the OTAs going on in the professional ranks. And, let me see. How much time we got there, Mr. Engineer, before we go to break? Looks like a couple of minutes. So I want to squeeze and use everything we have. Anything coming out of that, the New Orleans way with OTAs? Any rookies such as Vaccaro stepping up? Anyone impressive that you want to speak to yet, Brian?
The rookies and stuff just reported just this past weekend.
Okay.
Like the veterans, they're just going there early in the morning to work out. And then OTAs start next week for Roman and all them. So there haven't been much yet. You know, right now when the rookies and veterans are separated, it's hard for them because it's not like they're going on full scale 11-on-11 to go again. So, but next week when we do the show, we're going to hear because Vaccaro is going to see guys like Lance Moore, Nate Toon, and things like that. So. And I'm hoping, I'm hoping the kid is strong because we need a nickel back. We need help. Coach Ryan is excited, and despite what some announcers and stuff may say, like Marshall Falk, who are clueless, the first thing they pulled out of their mouth was my brother and some of these guys because they're the big name. Roman is comfortable. Coach Ryan loves him. He has no intention of going anywhere. It's not a salary cap number. And they're going to use all three safeties in a numerous ways this year.
Okay. So it's going to be the norm for your brother, which is one, he's going to know the defense. Two, he's going to be in shape, and he's going to bring the experience to the game. It's not like his athletic ability is falling off the cliff. He's getting older, but I mean, hell, we all do. but I think he would know as well as yourself when it's time for him to shut it down, and doesn't appear to be the case this year.
The biggest thing was so disturbing is when you come in trying to lose a new system and then not having your head coach. It was just hard. I don't think people really understand that. And you get all these announcers who want to say, well, the defense was this and all that. Could the defense have played better? Yes. But part of that was players. And the other part was, like I said, there's a reason. If your company is operating at a certain level, a lot of things, and we're used to winning NFC South and Super Bowl and talks of playoffs every year. And then the CEO steps away and say goes on vacation, and he comes back, and the company drops off. He's going to make some changes. And what was his first change? The defensive coordinator. So it wasn't all the players. He got rid of Spags. So there was something, and people need to understand that while you're writing about players or whether. And I'm not saying because of my brother. When you write about all players, look at what the front office does from a coaching standpoint first, then make your assessment.
Okay. And with that, man, let's go to that break. Mr. Engineer, kick the music and bring us around for our final segment. Voice America Sports, stay with us. 888-346-9144. Sheldon, Brian Harper, D-Lock, Planet Gridiron.
What is it you want to do when you grow up?
Hey, yo, I'm going to be on TED-Op. That's all my eyes can see. Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been laying, waiting for your next.
next mistake. I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Now I'ma start collecting props, connecting plots, networking like a conference. Cause the nonsense is yet to stop. Shake, shake me down, haters wanna take me down, break me down, clap. All they heard was a sound. Yo, I scoped it out. I took your weak dream and choked it out. Your bitch don't really got no ass.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Get ahead in business and life. Read Getting It Done, 1,000 of the Best-Kept Secrets for Success in Business and Life by John Capozzi. Learn how John, a successful Connecticut businessman, obtained 13 corporate promotions in 13 years. This book makes a fantastic gift for anyone who wants to get ahead in business. Voice America will donate a portion of every copy sold to the USO. Visit GettingItDone.com and enter promo code VA1234 at checkout to get a 10% discount. That's GettingItDone.com, promo code VA1234 for a 10% discount today.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad. This stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
This week on The Revolution with Jim and Trav, that's presented to you by Outdoor Channel.
On this week's program, we'll have Gary Hamby from Deer Dirt and outdoor writer Scott Bestial, and he'll tell us how to use chainsaws for deer management.
Hey, we also have another outdoor writer, David Hart, and Brent Eaton with Polaris. I love Polaris.
When we talk about food plots and deer management.
And as always, it's brought to you by Outdoor Channel and Ram Trucks.
Wednesdays at 1 Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
And we're back for our final segment, Planet Gridiron, Voice America Sports. Your leader in internet media. Hit us up, folks, 888-346-9144. Before we went to break, or excuse me, when we were on break, we were talking a little bit about some NFL players, but more so what's been going on off the field. Brian Harper has indicated that he's actually friendly with the Titus Young family or person, and can share a little insight maybe that many of us are not privy to. Because from the outside looking in, I would say, he appears to be a troubled young man, too, that I hope finds himself. But he can't continue down this route. And what we mean by that, folks, is you may be aware this gentleman was arrested three times over a period of 8 days for a litany, if you will, of offenses. Innocent till proven guilty, though. But it's clearly something going on with this young man, Brian. And, you know, would you care to share what you can and what you feel comfortable sharing regarding this young man and his family?
Yeah, he's just a young man that in a sense of a, I would say, a babe and growing up in certain things, as far as like his religious beliefs, have gone to be what we consider sometimes extremist. Now, I understand that we all make mistakes in growing and living to a certain point, and he's tried to do things in a sense on trying to hold himself accountable and has yet to understand that you're going to make mistakes, and when you do make mistakes. When you do make those type of mistakes, you can't put pressure on yourself. And he expects for those people that he's ever, I would say, by certain organizations to hold that same type of respect. And when he feels like he's being disrespected, he tends to get short-tempered and ill-tempered. And then couple on the fact with the, unfortunately, we all, and people have them, the affairs of the heart, which only thing somebody can do is definitely make a phone call. The scenario is like this. Even though you may have an item in somebody's house and that person will want to give it back, we've all seen, okay, well, I'm just going to go in there and get my stuff and leave. And, of course, that person calls the law. And even though you've done things to make sure that person's okay and that they're financially okay and you're going in to get your own stuff, then they can sit there and say, okay, it's burglary. And and that's what it's going to read. But essentially, the things belong to him. But you know, when you have domestic disputes and we know the angers of a woman and things that she can definitely turn around on you. So those are the things that's really going on, and unfortunately, no different than you're not even a woman beater, but if you and your girlfriend happen to get in a fight and you push her down and the police show up and she says you push her down and you did, but all of a sudden because you have a big name, now you're just, you get labeled, mm-hmm. unfortunately, as a troublemaker or as a woman beater, and that's not even the case. You know, so
now do you think that
so that's what Mr. Young Titus is going through that. Titus is going through certain things that really bothered him as far as him growing in the beliefs of what his religious beliefs are and putting himself too much to an extreme and not allowing himself to grow.
Well, good. I mean, Sheldon, you had a question for Ryan?
Do you think that with all this off the field issues, will that affect him on the field? Do you think he can find a job somewhere?
I think, unfortunately, in today's game, if you get cut from an organization from a certain way, you can get blackballed. I'm hoping that his talent, and I hope that his temperament. Me personally, I would think that football should be the last thing on Titus's mind. I think Titus needs to go to a place to where, with his beliefs in God, that he can truly see how it's supposed to be done, how it's supposed to be worshipped. Not in extreme, not in condemnation. And when he gets that maturity level, if his talent still is there and people are willing to look at the difference that God will truly make in him, not Titus because of religion trying to make himself, then, yeah, he can play football again. But until then, while he's trying to make this difference, because you can't do it, I can't do it, no man can change himself through these high expectations from a religious belief. But if you do it, allow God to do it, I think he can play football again. But right now, I would say no.
I agree with him. I think he needs to go the route of Rolando McClain, because who said, you know, we know he's been troubled as well. He recently signed with Baltimore, decided to retire because he said essentially he needs to work on himself.
Yeah. You look from January to today, been arrested 2-3 times, mm-hmm. been married, released from Oakland, signed with Baltimore, retires a few days ago.
Yeah.
I mean, look what he definitely has to get his time. And, like, you know, we talk about Titus. Get himself together.
Right.
Because they're both talented players.
Oh, yeah. The athletic ability and ability to play.
It's there.
I
love Titus in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being slightly I loved seeing what he could do.
I checked him out at Boise State. You know, I heard about, you know, some of the red flags and, you know, that stuff, common stuff that the NFL and front office management has to deal with. But what I can say is we're wishing him well. You'd like to see him all prosper, to get his ducks in a row, and so he can be comfortable with himself off the field, and then that would carry on if he has the opportunity again, I believe, on the field. Hey, B-Hop, man, we have done it to ourselves again. We only have 3 minutes, and we did touch upon a very important issue, I think, or at least a hot-button issue at this point, and not only in the NFL, but in the athletic world in general, and that's being or perhaps welcoming an openly gay player in a locker room of a professional organization. Now, we've seen Jason Collins announce that he is gay, openly gay, but he's a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting in my mind, Sheldon O'Brien, to see if anybody...
Well, actually, the punter from Minnesota,
Chris,
he just signed with Oakland yesterday.
Right.
So that's going to be big for him, you know, with what he's doing. But it's interesting for me to see Jason Collins comes out openly gay.
Yep.
You know, first guy to do that. And everybody accepts him, where you have Tim Tebow, openly Christian in his faith, and he's kind of shunned and made fun of for the things he does.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Hey, Brian, you want to care to jump in on that, man? We only got 2 minutes, but I'll give it to you.
Man, no, I don't want to jump on it because we all know some people in television and in industry, man, they're all about people who are paying money and sponsorships and And you don't see a lot of churches, or a lot of different, whether you're Protestant or whatever, only Catholics are the only ones that are doing sponsorships. So, unfortunately, you got guys who are behind certain sponsorships that don't have a problem. It's all about the dollar, so they don't care if you're gay or not. So they'll push things as well, things like homosexuality versus someone who's openly strong in their faith, like Tim Tebow.
And right now, it's sad to say this, and I tell you what, I'm not going to let this issue rest. I'm going to just let everybody know, listeners, check in next week, because we are going to pick up the whole idea of this openly gay player. But
let's just start off with it, because I was really saving a lot of things for it. That's why I'm just kind of, you know, so let's just start off with it, man. And I hope my man can join us next week, too, because, trust me, I got some stats and everything I could really, really want to drop on y'all, but it's okay. We're all good with it.
Okay. Okay, man. Well, look, man, we got to shut it down. I do apologize to all our listeners on there because I think it is, again, a hot-button issue, something that everybody can chime in and have an opinion.
It's an issue that will never rest.
And we can respect one another. And again, folks, let's agree. We can agree to disagree and not be disagreeable.
Yeah.
So with that being said, folks, enjoy your weekend. It's Brian Harper, Dave Lockhart, and Sheldon signing off. Voice America Sports, Planet Gridiron. You all take it easy, be easy, but not too easy.
I'm all in. I've been in the kitchen whipping. Where y'all been? Been seen back from a distance, watch the world spin. Now it's time for me to open up and chime in. Yeah. I hear them talk. They say they grind.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.